The Steve Lobby Agency presents The Christian Publishing Show, a podcast for writers who want to advance Christ's kingdom using the written word. Here's your host, Thomas Umstadt Jr.
We've talked about podcasts on the show a lot lately and on the Steve Lobby blog as well. And this is, you could say, the last episode of the series. And honestly, I wasn't planning on doing another episode on podcasting, but in my webinar, Power of Podcasting, a lot of people ask questions about how to start their own podcast. And around that same time, I found out about a brand new conference that's getting started called the Spark Christian Podcast Conference. And I'm particularly excited about this because there has been, to date, as far as I know, no Christian podcasting conferences, despite the fact that Christianity is the largest podcast category. There are more Christian podcasts than any other kind of podcast, and yet no conference for Christian podcasters, which is why I'm excited that we are joined today by Misty Phillips. She's a podcast host of the By His Grace podcast and the founder of the Spark Christian Podcast Conference. Misty, welcome to the Christian Publishing Show.
Hey, Thomas. Thanks so much for having me on.
So we should get this out of the way right away. When and where is the Christian Podcast Conference?
Yes, it will be in Houston, Texas on February 21st and 22nd of 2020.
All right. 2020 seems like so far away, but it's only a few months away.
I know.
We've been looking forward to this year for a long time. All of the 2020 plans that everyone made in the year 2000 of like 2020 vision. We'll see. I hope somebody does a roundup of those 2020 plans and if any of them actually work. But what I'd like to do is kind of go through the structure of the conference and do like a Cliff Notes version of each talk. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, we're going to give you like a quick summary. But each one of these topics that we talk about, there's going to be a whole session on or a whole panel on by somebody who's specifically an expert in that specific area. So this won't be a substitute for the conference, but hopefully it'll give you a good idea. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, this will point you in the right direction. So let's jump in. Misty, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready to go. Well, let me just say, I was looking for a podcast conference from a Christian perspective because I've been to several writing conferences and blogging conferences and found those to be a great place to network with other people in the industry and to learn all the things. And there wasn't one of those for Christian podcasting. And when the Lord put it on my heart to do this, I was like, I can't believe this has not already been done. So I am really excited, and I'm excited that you're going to be one of the presenters at the conference as well. So yeah, let's get started.
Yeah, I'm very picky about conferences next year because I have a newborn baby and a one-year-old at home. But I like the fact that it is in Texas. So yeah, session one, Paul Hastings is going to be presenting on podcasting 101. So let me explain how podcast works and how to set up a podcast in 2 minutes. So there's three elements of a podcast. The first and most important is the RSS feed. It's that little orange icon with the swishes up to the top right corner. You probably saw these all the time 5-10 years ago on the internet around blogs. Well, podcasts use that same technology, and that RSS feed is what podcatchers on people's phones or apps or whatever they use see new episodes come in. So that's the most important element. Now, the second most important element is the media file, the MP3 that is actually downloaded. And then finally, you have show notes, which are optional, but most podcasts will have show notes that go along with them. So for this podcast, we do it all through Blueberry is our podcast host. They host the media files, and everything else is through WordPress. So the RSS feed comes out of WordPress, just like a blog post, and the show notes are blog posts. And that goes out on ChristianPublishingShow.com. It also goes through SteveLobby.com through very complicated technology I won't explain here because most people won't be doing that. But it's all still connected through RSS. So you can do it all through Libsyn or Blueberry. There's several different hosts. And I think some of those hosts are going to be at the Christian Podcasting Conference. You can actually talk to the companies that handle the kind of technical bits of the podcast. And I will say it is a lot easier now to start a podcast than it was when I started my first podcast in 2007. It was slim pickings in those days. You really had to know what you were doing.
I can imagine.
So the easiest way to set up a podcast is to just go to one of these podcast hosts, whether it's Blueberry or Libsyn, and you just click sign up and they have a wizard that walks you through the process. And I really like Blueberry because it's a WordPress-centric way of doing it. So your podcast lives on your website along with your blog posts and your books, and all of your information is all there on this one hub, which I think is the best way to do it. But it's not necessarily the easiest way, although it's, I think, the fastest way on a per episode basis. So when we produce podcasts for others, we prefer for them to use Blueberry and WordPress.
That's what I use, Thomas, as well. And I think it's a little more complicated on the front end when you set it up. But once you get it set up, it's so easy to do that it integrates right with your blog posts. And I love it.
Yeah. And I will say they have made it easier. The PowerPress plugin, which is the same plugin I've been using for 12 years, didn't have a wizard in the early days. Now it's like step one, step two, and it walks you right through it. And including getting your podcast. Oh, so final step. Once you have the RSS feed, it's created, you've got the media files, right? You've recorded episode one, you've recorded episode two. The final step, and you only have to do this one time, is you submit your podcast to the various podcast directories. The big one is Apple Podcasts. That's about 60% of the market. The next one is Spotify, which is new. It's about 10% of the market, though. It's already the second biggest player. So it's really important to get your podcast on Spotify. And it's finally easy to do. It used to be really hard to get your podcast on Spotify, but Spotify has spent $200 million on podcast technology in the last 12 months, over $200 million on podcast technology. And so they have been embracing podcasting in a really big way. All right, so let's get to session two. Before you grab the mic, identifying your why and honing your message by Catherine Barner. So I imagine this talk is going to be very interesting, and I don't know what she's going to say, but I do think that it's important in identifying your message to identify a very specific who, like who your podcast is for. This is a common mistake I see a lot of podcasters make, is their initial audience is too broad for their notoriety. So the lesser known you are, the more niche you need to be to find an angle into the market. So if you're Conan O'Brien and you want to just talk to whoever about whatever, that's fine because everyone knows who you are already. But if no one knows who you are, you need to pick a very narrow niche. And this has been what I've done both with the Novel Marketing Podcast, which initially was just for fiction marketing, and also with the Christian Publishing Show, which is just for Christian writers. Now, what happens with this is that as you podcast over time, that passionate niche will spread the word outside the niche. So now we have fiction and nonfiction people who listen to Novel Marketing, and the show is more about innovative book marketing strategies. So it's pivoting to the definition of novel from a book to an innovative idea. So you're not trapped in that tiny niche is what I'm saying. And a lot of people feel restricted. They're like, well, gosh, if I just do it for this tiny group of people, you know, I'm limiting my audience. But I'm like, no, there's a science fiction and fantasy marketing podcast. When we launched Novel Marketing, it was the only fiction marketing podcast. Now there's like genre specific fiction marketing podcasts that also have huge audiences.
It really helps you to build brand authority. And I've heard this quote a lot recently, that there is riches in the niches.
That's right. Riches in niches. And one way to find this niche, this core niche, is to ask who over and over again and try to get more specific, and ideally to identify a specific person that your podcast is for. And again, I talk about this a lot, but find your Timothy, right? And write your book just to Timothy, and everyone else will benefit from it, like the book of Timothy in the Bible. But another way to do this is to ask why five times. Connect with your inner two-year-old and just ask why over and over again till you get the core why behind all of the whys. All right. So the next session is The Power of Podcasting for Connection and the Future of Podcasting by Eric Nevins. Eric, I know Eric, he runs the Christian podcast community on Facebook. So there's a Christian Podcasters Facebook group, which if you are thinking about starting a podcast, Or if you already have one, I really encourage you to join that podcast group. And even if you're wanting to guest on podcasts, they're the people you will be talking to potentially. But one of the cool things about having your own podcast is that it gives you access to people who you couldn't talk to otherwise. And a great example of this is my interview with Jeff Goins a couple weeks ago. So when I reached out to Jeff Goins, I just had a generic email address for him. It wasn't his private email. It was the email that everyone gets if they try to get Jeff's email. And that email inviting him to come on the podcast went to one assistant who forwarded it to another assistant. But ultimately, it got around to Jeff, who said yes. And that's the power of podcasting, right? If I had have emailed him out of the blue, he'd have been like, who is Thomas Umstead? There's no way I'm going to talk to him for 45 minutes for free, right? You know, he's an expensive consultant. But to come on a podcast and talk for 45 minutes, absolutely, he'd love to do that. And this is the case with a lot of people. In fact, if you're, this is a kind of a hack, if you're writing a book and you're wanting to do interview celebrities, the easiest way to do those interviews is to not just be writing a book, but also to have a podcast.
Absolutely. And I would add, if you have a podcast, then other podcast hosts want to have you on their show as a guest because they know that you know what you're doing and that you'll be a good guest.
Yeah, and that you'll have a good microphone and that, you know, yeah, it reduces the stress to have another podcast host on the show for sure. All right, so let's talk about the next session. Session four is best practices, guest best practices with Julie Hamilton. So not all podcasts are guest interviews, right? This show, sometimes I do episodes all by myself. Sometimes I have a guest on. Some shows never have guests on, but the most common format is a guest interview show. And there's a lot of mistakes I see people make over and over again. So I'm going to go over a couple of the most common mistakes and how to fix them. So the first one is finding good guests. And I have made this mistake. I've had bad guests on the show. I've done entire interviews that I then couldn't air because it was such a terrible interview. And the best way to find a good guest is to find guests who have guested on other podcasts in the past, and you go and listen to that interview and you see if they did a good job or not. And there's a great website called Podchaser that you can look up all of the interviews a guest has done. And if you do guest interviews, you want to make sure you put your interviews on Podchaser so podcasters like me can look you up there. Another really common mistake is, you know, the first question you have the guest on, you're like, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. And this is kind of a classic mistake that podcast gurus, you know, point out quite a bit. So forgive me if you've already heard this, but there's a couple of reasons why this is a bad idea. One is that if they do a lot of guest interviews, you're going to get the generic introduction that they do on all the other podcasts that they do, which means the first 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of your show is identical to all the other shows this person has been on, which really ruins the unique flavor of your show and does your audience a disservice because your audience is different than those other podcasts' audience. The other is that you've now given away control of your show during the most important minutes of your show, right? Like this is the time when ideally you are explaining who the guest is and why the audience should listen to them. And no one understands your audience better than you. And so no one's going to be able to make that case as well as you can. So you really owe it to your listeners to do the research and tweak the bio. Because the other, you know, similar version of this mistake is you just read their about page, right? And the first 2 minutes of the episode is that where they went to college and all about their kids and all this irrelevant information. Like, no. Edit all that out. Connect with your inner writer and edit those things out and have a really focused introduction that's laser focused on the topic. So when I interview an author, I don't mention all 40 of their books. I'll mention just the book we're talking about because I don't want to overwhelm people with options. And I may say that an author of 40 books, including the book we're talking about, and then we just talk about that book.
That's excellent, Thomas.
Another thing is to do your research. This is something I'm still learning, but I've learned that it's important to have more questions than you will ask. So I do a lot of research ahead of time before the interview. And like with the Jeff Goins interview, I had a big block of questions and we only got to about half of them. And the reason why I did that is that I wanted to be able to ask follow-up questions. This is something I'm still learning how to do when I interview somebody, is not just go through my list of questions. Some people do no prep and they just hope to ask good follow-up questions. And I see this as a very risky way to do it. The key to success is preparation. But you want to have that research done. You want to have those questions prepared. And it also, I feel, allows you to listen to the guest more so you can ask those follow-up questions. Because a good interview is really based around the follow-up questions, not the like topic starting questions.
And you want to make sure that you are listening so that you can not go over something. So recently, I was listening to a podcast and the guest kind of took the podcast off in a different direction, but it was about a sad thing that happened in their life. And the podcast host just sort of skipped over it because they had their list of questions that they were going through. So I think it's really important to listen to your guest too and respond appropriately.
Yeah, because it makes you sound really insensitive if somebody's like, and then that's when my mother died. And you're like, okay, well, so tell me about your next book. Just like ignore exactly. It. And also that creates a curiosity in the listener. And you want to play to that curiosity. The more you can build curiosity and satisfy curiosity, build curiosity and satisfy curiosity, the more you learn how to do that cycle as a host, the more you can pull your guests through a longer episode. Because another mistake I see new podcasters make is their shows are too long. They start off with a 40-minute show or an hour-long show. And I'm like, gosh, if you don't know how to be interesting for 15 minutes, how can you be interesting for 30? And if you don't know how to be interesting for 30, how can you learn to be interesting for 45? And if you look at the popular podcasters, the ones with longer shows, and you look at their earlier episodes, you'll often find those early episodes are short while they were honing their craft and finding their voice and getting to know their audience and all of those kind of key elements of starting a podcast. It's much better to do it with a shorter podcast, and it's less commitment, right? If you're committing to do an hour-long show every week, that's a lot of work. 15-minute shows are less work in some ways. They're not 25% the work. They're, you know, maybe half the work for a 15-minute show, but you'll have a higher quality show with that lower level of work. All right. So the next session is marketing strategy. So this conference, we're doing both like how to start a podcast, but also how to grow a podcast. So if you already have a podcast, but you're like, I want to get more listeners, there's several sessions that are going to hit these kinds of topics. So this one's a panel. So who knows what's going to be said in this panel, but I'll give you a couple of tips. And Missy, I'm sure you've got a couple of marketing tips as well. But my first tip is to guest on other podcasts. So only 50% of the American population listen to podcasts, which means all other marketing activities, you're really only talking to half the audience, right? If you do Facebook, only half the people on Facebook listen to podcasts, the other half don't. Especially Android users don't listen to podcasts in general because of the fact that there's no default app on Android. So for an Android person to listen to your app, to your podcast, they have to figure out how to find an app on their phone and pick which one to download from the millions of options, and then download the app, learn how to use the app, and then find out how to subscribe to your podcast in the app. That's a lot of steps for somebody to go through. Whereas if somebody is already listening to five podcasts, to add your podcast as a sixth podcast is really easy. So when you guest on another podcast, 100% of the listeners of that podcast already listen to podcasts. It's a target-rich environment. And so this is, I would say, probably the most important strategy for marketing your podcast is to get on other podcasts like Misty is doing right now.
Yay!
Another good way of marketing your podcast, if it's an interview show, is to have notable famous people on your show. People often will come to a podcast for the guest and they stay for the host. So the guest is what will draw them in. They're like, oh, I've heard of this. So, you know, this person you've just had on who's famous. And don't be afraid about asking really famous people on your show. They want to do podcast interviews. They just need to be asked. And then finally, ask your guests to promote the podcast, right? Sometimes the only reason they don't do it is because you haven't asked them to do it. So good guests promote the podcasts that they're on social media at the very least, but what you really want is for them to feature it in their email. And what I do is sometimes I'll ask, you know, just add it as a PS to the next email that you send out. And often this is a really easy way for them to do it because the podcast, if they're the guest, right, they're talking all about their books and it's great promotion for what they're doing. So they are happy to share that. Misty, what are some marketing strategies you use for your podcast?
Yeah, I add some old school marketing tactics, and that's telling people in real life and having things handy that I can pass out to them, little cards made up about the podcast. I'm involved in a lot of mastermind groups and podcasting groups and networking groups, and I'm just always prepared. So if anybody asks and they want more information, I've got that handy and available. And I find that, you know, there's something important that happens when we have face-to-face contact. So as much as I love the online world and all of online marketing, I think that there's something when we're in relationship with real life people, and they want to support our projects and be a part of what's going on.
All right. So the next session is also on marketing, Marketing and Branding by Quinn Haven.
Haven, yeah, she's the host of the Renew You podcast, and she's a biblical family counselor, but her background is in PR and marketing, and she's done an excellent job of branding herself with her podcast, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have her on the panel and to speak, because branding is a really important aspect, because everything we do online leaves a footprint of who we are, and we're creating a brand, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, the one lesson I learned about branding, I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way when it comes to branding. One is, don't have a million brands. So I'm in the process of trying to consolidate all of my brands, but particularly when it comes to a podcast, since podcasts are so personal, they're listening to your voice in their head, often in a private place. It's really important to make that brand a personal brand and to put your face on the cover. So you'll notice Novel Marketing, it's just a logo, and it does not have as powerful a brand as the new Christian Publishing Show logo because it has my face on it. I was very hesitant to put my face on the cover, but I will say, when I'm at conferences, even though Novel Marketing has more listeners, more Christian Publishing Show listeners will come up to me because they know what I look like. Novel Marketing people will be talking to me like, oh, you host Novel Marketing. Like, they don't even realize it at first talking to me because they have no idea what I look like. I'm just a voice in their head. Whereas when you put that face on it, it creates that stronger personal connection. And ultimately, that's what keeps people listening to the podcast, is that personal connection. So get up the guts and put your face on the cover art, I think, is a really key branding tip.
Absolutely. And I would add to have a similar color palette when you're making your marketing materials. You can do this very easily. You can set this up in Canva, and then all of your graphics and everything that you use has a cohesive look and feel. And that really helps to establish you as a professional.
All right. The next session is Editing and Producing Your Podcast by Thomas Umstadt Jr. Woo-hoo! Hey, that's me. So, good editing is often what separates the popular podcast from the unpopular ones. If you look at podcasts with very few listeners, very often they are much longer than they need to be. And what's nice is, with you listening, you know how important editing is, right? Every writer knows the importance of editing. You know, you don't put your rough draft on the page, right? You don't go to Barnes & Noble and buy somebody's rough draft. You buy their edited draft. And the same is true with the audio. You want to edit that audio and tighten it up. And the more you do this, the more edited and more produced your show is, the more of an audience you can attract. Because while some people are willing to listen to an unedited ramble fest, most people are wanting something that's quite a bit more focused. There was a cartoon I saw a couple days ago that had a man, he was at the pearly gates, and God was there with his big book. And he said, I was a podcaster. Did I waste my life? And God looks down at his book and he said, you had thousands of people listening to your podcast. You wasted thousands of lives. And I was like, oh no, I don't want that to be me. Right. So if you have 1,000 people listening to your podcast and you cut 5 minutes of nonsense, you have just saved one whole day in aggregate of people's lives, like, that weren't wasted listening to that nonsense. I think that's how the math works. I try not to do math live on the air. But, you know, having a tighter, more tightly edited show, I'll be talking about how to do that. I'll be talking about some tools, but I will give you the most important tool, and that is Hindenburg. Part of the reason why people don't do more editing is that they use Audacity, which is the free app that is really hard to use. And I don't recommend using that app. Treat your time as something that's valuable and use an app that makes editing easier and faster. So Hindenburg is, I think, $90 for Hindenburg Journalist. and it's a audio editing app designed specifically for podcasters. It's the only one. Every other app, including Audacity, are designed for musicians, and podcasters are an afterthought. And there's all of these buttons and knobs and windows and features that all they do is make it more time consuming to do the edit, because you don't need a drum kit. You don't need a tempo, metronome. And when you have an app that doesn't have those features, it actually can be more powerful while simultaneously being easier to use. And in my opinion, there's only two kinds of podcasters: people who've tried Hindenburg and fallen in love with it, and people who've not yet tried Hindenburg and are telling themselves that what they're using is just as good. And let me tell you, it is not. I've demoed Hindenburg for podcasters live, and every single time I get gasps from the audience. Even when I tell them you're going to gasp, and they're like, no, I'm not. And then I show them how easy it is to use, there are gasps from the audience. That's much as how, because when you see something that took you 5 minutes to do in the tool you're using, and then you use Hindenburg and it's done in 5 seconds, you gasp. It's just what happens. So I may be demoing Hindenburg a very little bit. I doubt I'll have time to demo it very much. But I encourage you to, and this is not sponsored, they don't pay me, they don't even have an affiliate program, but I encourage you, get their free trial if you're a podcaster and use it on every episode. For instance, noise reduction is this huge complicated mess in most apps. In Hindenburg, it's just a dial. You have like 4 dots of noise reduction or 6 dots of noise reduction. That's all you have to do. It's that easy. All right. Now, session 8 is all about launching a podcast. And Miss Sienna, you know quite a bit about this. My first tip, though, is to launch strong. Try to get your podcast into New and Noteworthy if you can. Apple finally fixed New and Noteworthy. And if you can get into New and Noteworthy, it'll bring this great tailwind that will really help push your launch even higher.
Yeah, I'm super excited. One of our podcast hosts that's going to host one of the sessions, Ozeal, is a business podcaster here in Houston, and he got his show in the New and Noteworthy, and so he's going to add that to his session too when he talks about building a podcast community.
Yeah. So one key to hitting New and Noteworthy is to write out on a paper or in a document a 6-week launch plan. New and Noteworthy is between 6 and 8 weeks of a show recently launching. You can also get into New and Noteworthy through the Noteworthy criteria. So if your show suddenly gets a lot of attention all at once, you can get in that way. But I find that way to be much harder to get into New and Noteworthy than launching a new podcast. And each category of New and Noteworthy, or each category in Apple Podcasts, has its own New and Noteworthy list. So I've helped Christian authors who started their own podcasts. I do a podcast production company on the side. I haven't really talked about that because we're very particular about the clients that we take on. But our most recent client that we launched hit New and Noteworthy and stayed there for several weeks. And so it gave her a really solid launch, because this is one way that people discover podcasts, right? They open up the Apple Podcast app and they see you listed there on the page with other Christian podcasts next to other big name folks. I'm like, ooh, who is this? And they click on it and then they discover you that way. But only if you're getting lots of new subscribers every day. And that's why you need that launch plan.
Thomas, you know, I didn't launch very well, actually. I mean, I did okay because I already had a following with my blog and my writing. And so I had a lot of people who were interested. But this is one of the reasons why I wanted to host the conference, because a lot of the things I had to learn the hard way, and the launch was one of them. So I'm excited to have other people learn from our mistakes.
Yes, I have made a lot of mistakes over the last 12 years of podcasting, and I've learned, I didn't used to do hardly any editing. If you listen to my early episodes from like 2013, 2014, they sound awful, and I didn't know anything. I was still using condenser microphones back then, and because I heard somebody say, oh, condenser microphones, that's what they use in, you know, studios, and it wasn't until I did radio and realized that we use dynamic mics in radio, and that you get a much better sound in the real world with a dynamic mic. Anyway, that was one thing I wish I could take back, all those years of using a condenser microphone. All right, so a few other strategies to help you launch strong. One is pre-schedule podcast interviews ahead of time. So we talked about guesting being a really powerful strategy, but one thing you have to realize is that guest interviews are often recorded weeks or months before they go live. So Misty, you are recorded through the end of the year, is that right?
That's correct.
So if you were to do an interview with somebody, the earliest it would appear is January, unless you rearranged your schedule a little bit. And that's really common. That's not how we're doing Christian Publishing Show. I have much shorter buffer right now, but it often it goes up. So if I'm at a conference, a writer's conference, and I interview a bunch of people at the writer's conference, I may have a large buffer, and it kind of varies. But just realize that if you're planning to launch a podcast, you need to start working on booking guest interviews months ahead of time, so that your interviews hit during that launch window so that you can have a chance to hit new and noteworthy.
I would add there too that if you want to be a podcast guest on someone's show because you have a book coming out, don't wait until the week your book comes out and expect that that's the week that they're going to share the show.
Yeah, podcasting is not a live medium. It's the opposite of that. It's often has a big buffer. Another key strategy is to, you know, as you make friends with people with email lists, especially who are targeting your same target audience, you know, ask them to help promote your podcast. And one way to make this easier for them to promote your podcast to their list is to have them on as a guest, right? Have some popular bloggers and some popular people in your field on as your early guests to help you with that early launch. All right. So real quick, let's go. We're almost out of time, but I want to hit the last few sessions really fast. The next one is Dave Jackson, who's a celebrity in my mind. He's doing a panel on podcast growth and monetization. Misty, who's Dave Jackson?
Dave Jackson is the author of, oh my gosh, I can't remember the book. Thomas, this is terrible. I don't have it in front of me. Dave Jackson has launched over 30 podcasts and has over 4 million downloads. He is the entrepreneur in charge of the podcasting school. And so I'm super excited to have Dave as a part of our expert panel and doing a session on growth and monetization, because like you, he's been in podcasting from the very beginning. And so he's got a lot of wisdom to share.
Except unlike me, he's been coaching podcasters that whole time, whereas I have just recently got into the coaching podcasters game. So yeah, Dave Jackson's one of the old men of one of the founding fathers of podcasting. And a lot of podcasters learned podcasting by going through his school of podcasting. And this is what is, you know, reaching out and like, who amongst the podcast people who are already known are believers, right? Who follows Christ and that we can pull in for this Christian podcast conference. Dave Jackson's one of those folks who's already known as a podcast expert, and he also happens to be a Christian, which is really nice. So a couple of quick monetization tips. I used to have a whole podcast on monetization, believe it or not. It's called the Creative Funding Show, and it ran its course and I ended it during a season of pruning, but you can still listen to those old episodes. And so I interviewed a lot of people about how they made money on their podcasts, and you can still listen to those episodes if you want. But the most important thing, and Dave Jackson knows this, and you can see it in the title of his talk, the growth has to come first. You can't monetize no audience. So a lot of people make the mistake of trying to monetize too soon. You have to have a lot of either a lot of listeners or very valuable listeners. And you may be like, well, you know, what's an example of a valuable listener? If you have a podcast that's targeting people that have a lot of influence that advertisers would find very appealing. So let's say you have a podcast for, and it's about mineral rights, right? Yeah, like mineral rights. What's that? Who would listen to mineral rights? A podcast about mineral rights. Somebody who does a lot in oil, right? Somebody owns some mineral rights. They have, you know, some fracking on some land that they have. There may not be a lot of people who have oil underneath their land, but the people who do are very valuable. It's a very valuable audience. You don't need a lot of listeners if that's your topic to make money. But for most people, they're going to need a lot of listeners. And the more focused your audience is, the more valuable it is. So a couple of different ways of making money. I'll give you a quick example of how I do this with my podcasts. Novel Marketing is funded from patronage from our listeners. They donate to the show. It's kind of like public radio, except unlike public radio, we reward them with really cool rewards. So the patrons of the Novel Marketing podcast get significant discounts on all of my courses that I make through Author Media. So 50% plus discounts on our courses. They also get discounts on our plugins that we made, like My Book Table. And so it's not just the good feeling of keeping the show on the air that they get. They also get these very tangible rewards. They also, at certain levels, get like exclusive episodes. And I will say the key with Patreon first step is to have an audience. And the second step is to have rewards for that audience that the audience wants. And it took us a little while to figure this out. We canceled a bunch of the initial rewards we had when we first launched it because no one cared about it. But people like the exclusive episode and they like the exclusive discounts. So those we have for sure. Another way to do it is to find a sponsor, right? That's how we do it with the Christian Publishing Show. You know, when we say at the beginning, the Steve Lobby Agency presents the Christian Publishing Show, that's not just words. The Steve Lobby Agency pays for the editing and production of the Christian Publishing Show. And then another way to do this is with products, especially if your podcast is educational. You can create educational products that kind of take that training to the next level. So we do this. I do this with both my podcasts. And this is why the Christian Writers Institute sponsors every episode. And because we have a lot of products there, you know, if you're wanting to learn more about this, like, for instance, our sponsor today is about podcasting, right? So if you want to learn more about podcasting, we have a product specifically about that. Although this is, it is, I will say it is optional, right? Some people don't try to make money on their podcast. They just use it as a way of getting the word out about their book. The next session is by somebody called Misty Phillips. Who is that, Misty?
Yeah, I'm excited to share this session, which is going to be a combination of what makes a podcast a Christian podcast and the distinctives of that and sort of your duties and responsibilities as and also the power of reaching the gospel to the end of the earth with your podcast. So I'm excited about that. But then I'm also going to talk about what's next. What do you do once you leave this podcast conference? So you have all of this amazing information and what are your next steps and how can you start to put all of that into practice?
All right. And the final session is about building a podcast community, which is Ozeal DeBastos. And so we're basically out of time, but real quick, I'll give you the levels of doing this. The first is to create a place for your listeners to talk with each other. So community isn't you and them talking. It's them talking to each other and you being a part of that conversation. Some ways to do this is to ask questions of your audience. The Sell More Book Show does this or used to do this really well. I think they still do, where they'll have a question of the week and they encourage people to respond in the comments on Novel Marketing. I have a Facebook group where I post each episode and with an official thread. So if you want to talk about that episode with the other listeners, you can do that on the Facebook group. With the Christian Publishing Show, it's been harder because episodes come out on ChristianPublishingShow.com and there's comments there, but episodes are also posted to SteveLobby.com and there's comments there. So we've had a harder time having the community happen because the discussion happens in different places. But some other things to consider: incentivizing activity. So the Sell More Book Show would give a small prize away to the person with the best comments. And when they do that, they get 100 plus comments, which is really high for a podcast. And then the ultimate pinnacle of community. In fact, the earliest way that podcasts monetized back 10 years ago was hosting live events. And this is still a common way. A lot of NPR podcasts will go on tour. They'll host a live event where all the listeners of the podcast gather in some city, or sometimes they go on tour and they go all over doing live events. It's kind of like if you think of the podcast as a band, right? The podcast episodes are the studio recordings, and then you go and do live performances in front of a live audience. And people really like going to the quote unquote concert. Misty, what do you do to build a community around your podcast?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook community and my guests take part in that as well. And so one of the fun things is that people who want to go deeper with the guests can have interaction with them. And my guests have been great about going deeper on the topic. And so that's been one fun way that I've done that. And also through local community, I've got a mastermind group that meets in my home, and that's one of the ways where we get together and, you know, we share the projects that we're working on. And that's another great way to build community personally. And all those people listen to my podcast because I've poured into them. And so I've served them well. So then they in turn support me. So that's fun.
All right. So we've gone through the conference. Obviously, it's a little bit still in flux, but tell us, where can we, if somebody wants to learn more about the conference or they want to help the conference happen, where do we do that?
Yeah. So they can go to the Kickstarter campaign. They can just search the Spark Christian Podcast Conference. We launched the Kickstarter campaign just a few days ago, and we are already almost 20% funded. So I'm super excited about that. And we've got a lot of sponsors behind the scenes who are going to take part in that. So that's the first place. And even if they're just a podcast listener and they're a Christian and they want to support the effort, we've got sponsorships as low as $1, but we also have a interesting thing for people who do have a book or a podcast or a blog that they want to share that information. We've got digital sponsorship. And so for $10, they can get their name, book, website, whatever on our website as a digital sponsor. And then that's also where we're selling the lowest ticket price of $99. And that's only for a limited amount of time. So that would be the first place. And then the second place I would say is to check out the sparkchristianpodcast.com website.
We'll have links to all of those places in the show notes. And I will just say, if the podcast doesn't fund on Kickstarter, or sorry, the conference doesn't fund on Kickstarter, the conference doesn't happen. So hopefully by the time you listen to this, because again, you know, we record these ahead of time, the conference will have already funded, but it could be that your contribution pushes us over the edge. I do encourage you to check that out. If you go to the Kickstarter page, it's got a real-time ticker to see how the conference is going in terms of funding. I'm a big fan of doing this for events, especially new events. But initially, there seems to be a lot of excitement. So while we're recording this at the end, when you hear this, the Kickstarter campaign, I think we'll only have about a week remaining. And so if you want to get that, you know, early bird pricing, the Kickstarter campaign is the only place to do that. Our sponsor this week, as I already hinted, is the Christian Writers Institute, as always. And the course of the week is how to get booked as a podcast guest. Once you take this course, you will know how to contact podcasters and feel confident going on their shows to talk about your message. You'll learn techniques that most podcast guests don't know and techniques that took me over a decade to learn. So you don't have to hire a PR firm to get you podcast interviews. You just need to know how to do it yourself. And that's what we teach in this course. And as always, you can save 10% with the coupon code podcast, or click the link in the show notes to activate the coupon code automatically. Misty Phillip, thank you so much for joining us today on the Christian Publishing Show.
Thomas, thank you so much. And I'm so excited that you're going to be a part of the inaugural Spark event.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to the Christian Publishing Show. For more information and to get episodes delivered to your phone automatically, visit christianpublishingshow.com.